Director, amen. We were told to watch the choir director. I got no problem with that, amen. I enjoyed that. Mark chapter 11, if you have it tonight. Mark chapter 11, sorry about all the squealing on the microphones there. They're hard to sometimes get when you get a big group like that. Mark chapter 11, and we're going to give you something to think about tonight in line with October the 8th. Okay. I'm looking forward to that. I'm getting excited about it. Sounds a little bit funny, Bill. If you can help us, Brother Joe, it's something overwhelming up here. Maybe it's just the monitors. Maybe it's out there. Help us get that situated, please, if you would. All right. Mark chapter 11, verse number 12. Verse number 12. Mark chapter 11, verse number 12. I'm going to refer to verse number 12 in just a minute. Look at verse number 24. That's my text verse tonight. Jesus said these words, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So Jesus said, "What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Still a little loud, Bill, if you can help us, Brother Joe. It's a little up here. It might be loud up here then, okay? And let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you give me your thoughts tonight as we've got them on paper here. Help me to linger where you want me to linger, to move past what you don't want me to linger on. And Lord, prepare our hearts, please, for this special day. And may we begin even tomorrow morning to be earnest about it in the matter of prayer. God bless the time of our lesson this evening, the time in your word. Make our thoughts what they want, what you want them to be. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. I'm going to hurry through this first part of the lesson, then give you a handout. Go over that quickly and we'll get out of here on time. Tonight, in this chapter, in verses 12 through 14, we find Jesus placing a curse upon a fig tree that had no fruit. He went over there to find some fruit on it. All he found was leaves. And he cursed it. The Bible tells us that the disciples heard as Jesus placed a curse upon this tree. They overheard him. In verse number 20, I'm not taking the time to go through this just for sake of time. In verse number 20, we find that the next morning the fig tree was dried up from the roots overnight. The tree dried up from the roots. So Peter brought that to the Lord's attention, and Jesus responded by telling his disciples that the power it took to dry up that fig tree was available to them in answer to believing prayer. That was the whole lesson here. Peter, that very same power that dried up that fig tree from the roots overnight is available to you men in answer to believing prayer. And then in verse number 24, Jesus gave the sequence, if you will, necessary to obtain power in answer to prayer. Power to get the things that we need. Now, you have to be careful what you ask for. James says that sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we ask amiss, that we might fulfill it our lust, our own desires. But as long as you're praying for something that's in the will of God and the moral boundaries of God's Word and God's plan, verse number 24 says, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now I'm going to start at receiving the answer. That's the very end of his statement there. And ye shall have them. Okay? So he says, you can get the answer to your prayer. And let's go backward from that point tonight. Look at the sequence here. First of all, look at the word believe in that verse halfway through. When you pray, believe that you receive them. So we must believe. Believing in a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God is one of the greatest motivations to pray. Think about that. One of the greatest motivations to pray is we know God hears and we know God answers. We know that. So automatically, at the very beginning, at the outset here, we actually have a God that hears. That's what happens. In the psalmist, he asked in chapter 94, in verse number 9, this question. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And the obvious answer to that question is yes. Of course, the one who designed the ear and placed it in its strategic location on the head so that we could hear can hear himself. God designed this. We're made after his own image, and he put this here with the capabilities of hearing because that's what he can do. He can hear. All right? Now, what great motivation that is to pray. Did you ever wonder what motivates those poor Muslim people to pray five times a day? Their God can't hear. Their God doesn't exist. And yet they pray five times a day. They are defeated before they begin. Who hears their prayers? Nobody. On the other hand, then, why don't Christians pray? You know, we say amen to their false God, can't hear a thing. Okay, then, let's flip the coin over on the other side. It's completely the opposite for you and me. Our God does hear. And he is real. So why don't we pray? You know, we look at them. That's foolish to do that. The Ramadan has started in some parts of the world, some Muslim countries. Ramadan doesn't start the same date in every Muslim country. Over in Indonesia and some of the other Southeastern Asian Muslim nations, Ramadan has already started. And you see those pictures, sea of hundreds, sometimes even thousands of Muslims bowed over with their faces on the ground praying. And you think to yourself, what good's that doing? Not a bit of good. But why don't we pray? Because our God does hear. We need to believe that he hears us. The amazing thing is, we can be successful when we pray with even the most weak belief or faith. It doesn't take strong faith. Remember over in Mark chapter 9, don't turn there for sake of time, a man whose son was possessed by devils who kept trying to kill him, throwing him in the water, trying to drown him, throwing him in the fire, trying to burn him. That man brought that boy, possessed with devils, to Jesus and pled with Jesus, heal my son. In fact, this is what he said. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's really the wrong thing to say to Jesus. If thou canst do anything. And Jesus turned the thing right back on the man, and he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus said, you got the if in the wrong person. It's not if I can do something, it's if you have faith, if you believe. And then I love the man's answer. The man honestly cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I want to believe you. I do believe you to a degree, but I also battle this old Adamic nature, this sinful fleshly nature that doubts you, Lord. I cannot pray with strong belief. I do believe, but help all the unbelief that still exists in me. And what did Jesus do? Jesus miraculously healed the boy in answer to the man's requests. So it doesn't take strong faith. We need to believe that we can get what we need from God. Believe. Then the word before that is the word pray. Look at it. What things soever you desire when ye pray, believe. So there's got to be belief. There's got to be faith. But then there's got to be prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is asking God for what we believe He will give us. We must ask Him. You say, well, God, doesn't God know already the desires of my heart? Doesn't He know my requests before I bring them to Him? Yes, He does. He knows everything. In fact, God knows who all is going to be saved from now on until through the tribulation period. But that doesn't mean they're going to be saved just because God knows they're going to be saved. They still have to repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior in order to be saved. You can't take God's foreknowledge away from Him. Yes, He knows our prayer requests, but His ordained method is ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Prayer is asking. That's the simplest definition of prayer. Now, there's lots of things involved in our praying. There's worship, there's supplication, there's intercession, there's praise and thanksgiving. But then there's asking. Prayer is asking. It may require asking more than once. It may take perseverance in prayer. I already mentioned Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then Jesus went on to say, for to everyone that asketh, to everyone that asketh, he receiveth. Ask and keep on asking. And to him that seeketh, he shall find. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. Ask, you know, Jesus gave us a little acrostic right there. Prayer is asking. A, ask. S, seek. K, knock. Ask, seek, knock. And keep doing it until you get the answer. That's God's prescribed methods. Our method, our problem many times is that we do not ask. James said in chapter 4, verse number 2, yet ye have not because God can't hear. You have not because God doesn't want us to have it. No, you have not because ye ask not. Dr. John R. Rice, in his classic book on prayer, asking and receiving, talked about having a dream one time where he was walking down the roads, the streets in heaven, and he went into this room and saw a huge room full of unopened packages, all wrapped up in pretty paper, and I think maybe he might have said bows on them. And John Rice asked the fellow that was showing him, said, what are all these? And the fellow said, these are all the things that God had for His people, but they never asked for them. Never asked for them. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye have not because ye ask not. We don't get what we need sometimes because we don't ask. There is little good, listen folks, there's little good in believing that God will give us what we need if we don't take the time to ask for it. It's one thing to have faith that God will hear us and answer. Something else to go ahead and ask to get that answer. I think about Matthew chapter 7, continuing on in those verses there. Jesus, and I may not quote this verbatim to you, but I'll give it to you paraphrase. Jesus said, if you have a son that asks for a piece of bread, will you give him a rock? If you have a son that asks for an egg, will you give him a serpent? If you have a son that asks for a piece of meat, will you give him a scorpion? What's the obvious answer to those questions? No. You know, men, wicked men, like me and you, with wicked hearts, thank God, have been changed by the grace of God and saved. But with our old, filthy, dirty, Adamic nature, we have enough common sense to give good things to our children if they ask for them. How much more then? If you, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more then shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Why don't we ask? We know how to give good things to our kids when they're hungry. We know how to give them what they need. If we know that much, surely God knows a billion times more than we know. He said, ask. This is the sequence here. You want to get something from me? You need to have faith. You need to believe. And you need to ask for it. Just believing that you can get it won't be good enough. You need to ask God for it. And then you got the word desire. That's the first thing here. What things soever ye desire. It all starts with desire. The sequence to getting what we want begins with desire. Jesus said it's the desire that will drive you to ask. And then when you ask, believe. And if you'll pray in faith believing from a desire that's right, I'll give you what you ask for. That's the plain statement of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said this, what latitude is here given us in prayer? And he's right. It's unbelievable. You got a good, holy, moral desire in your heart? From that desire, let it motivate you to pray and beg and ask God and beg in believing faith. And Jesus said, if you'll have a desire and that desire motivates you to ask and you'll ask in faith believing, you can get the things that you need. So people have recently seen answers to prayer here in the church family. And I rejoice with you in those answers. You went to God with things and you had things birthed out of a holy desire, a right desire, a pure desire. And God, you asked, and you asked in faith believing. And it may not have been strong faith, but at least you asked in some kind of faith believing, and God gave you what you asked for. Desire, pray, believe, receive. That's the sequence in this verse right here. It's really pretty simple. Now, we need to receive several things for October the 8th to be a successful Sunday. We're 10 days away from Grand Finale Sunday. It may be a small thing to you, but it's not a small thing to me. It's a big thing for us. Our church needs to have a goal like this, and we don't need to have a goal to miss it. We need to have a goal to hit it. And we need several things from God to make that a successful Sunday. Therefore, we got 10 days starting tomorrow morning, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We have 10 days between tonight and that Sunday morning, October the 8th. And I'm asking you to pray over some things. Fellas, if you would, please pass out the sheets tonight to everybody who can read. Everybody who can read. Every boy, every girl, every young person, every man and woman, everybody that can read. I want you to have a sheet tonight, and I want to go over it quickly with you, and we'll be done. It won't take me just a little bit to do this. Look at what we have here on this page. It's called Prayer List for Grand Finale Sunday. Every person that can read, I want you to have one tonight. God hears the prayers of children. Children pray in simple faith. God hears those prayers. I want you kids to enter into prayer with us about Sunday, October the 8th, that it will be a successful Sunday, that God will bless us. Here are 10 things you can pray for the next 10 days. So you pray over these 10 things at least one time a day. You'll pray for each one 10 times between now and Sunday morning, October the 8th. Who has not received one yet? Keep your hand up. Some of these folks over in this corner. And we'll keep the others for Sunday if there's a few left over. All right? Anybody else did not receive one tonight? Let me look at them quickly with me here. Number one, good weather starting Friday through Sunday. Friday night, we're going to have some visiting going on in some of the bus route areas. Brother Kevin Walker is coming in on Friday. And we hope to be out visiting with clown costumes and everything in some of the bus route neighborhoods. So we need good weather starting Friday through Sunday. We need good weather for Sunday. We need good weather for Saturday to visit. We need good weather for Sunday to set the midway games up out on the lawn out here and just have a beautiful, beautiful day on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What's your verse? Mark 4:41. The wind and the sea obey Him. Amen. Now, if we wake up on Sunday morning, October 8th, and it's cloudy and raining, we're not going to pout, pooch our lips out, stick our thumbs in our mouths. It's what God gives us. But let's ask Him for a good weather. Let's ask Him for it, okay? The wind and the sea, obey Him. Number two, let's ask Him for a pure heart and right motives. Every bus route wants to have a banner day. I'd like to see a banner day in the church. And I think my heart is right. But look at the verse right there. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Remember the message on deceit Sunday night? It's not deceit if you suspicion. It's deceit when you're fooled and it's too late to realize it. So I don't want to have an ill motive and find out on October 9th. I want God to take care of any ill motives. I want God to take care of any impurities in my heart before Sunday morning, October 8th. Amen. We need a church with a pure heart and right motives because the heart is deceitful above all things. But God knows the heart, and God can search our hearts, and God will. And God will put His finger on things that we need to get right and confess and take care of before that day. And that's vitally important. A clean church is a powerful church. A dirty church is a weak church. Forget that. Number three, good health for all faithful families and workers. Mark 1:34. And He healed many that were sick. He still does that. He still does that. Well, we need all the kids to be well. We don't need moms having to miss, dads having to miss because, you know, Junior's running 102 degree fever, woke up in the night with or vomiting or something. We just ask God for good health for all the faithful families and workers. It's going to take an immense amount of workers on that Sunday, and everybody's going to have their place. It's going to be crucial and vital that everybody, all of our faithful families and workers, be here. Every bus driver, captain, worker, Sunday school class teacher, junior church, baptismal helpers, everything. Let's pray for good health for all faithful families and workers. Amen. God can do that. Number four, safety in all areas of the day. Your verse is Proverbs 21:31. Safety is of the Lord. The rest of the verse says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. We have tremendous men here who donate much time and effort to keep our buses in good mechanical condition. And I thank God for those men. But as much as they can do, they ultimately cannot keep us safe. Only God can keep us safe. Be a lot of kids in the parking lot, be a lot of cars, hopefully, be a lot of people coming and going. We want God to give us safety in all areas of the day. We don't need a bus driver getting run into by somebody. We need to pray that God gives safety in all areas of the day. But number five, no mechanical problems. None of those buses break down. I was thinking, Lord, what's a good scripture for that? And then I remember there in Exodus 14, the Lord troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels. Amen. Well, if He can take them off, He can keep them on. Sure He can. We laugh. We think, Brother Caleb talked about being in Oklahoma on his bus route and driving down the road, and all of a sudden a wheel went rolling. He said, oh, look at that, a wheel. It was a wheel off your bus, right? Boom. He's an Egyptian. But we don't need any breakdowns on Sunday morning. Amen. Or Sunday afternoon. Man, we don't need any breakdowns. Help us, please. Help us. Help us, help us, help us. Number six, an attendance of 1,000. That's not bad. I'll say it again. I've said it three or four times. And it just dawned on me in preparation for this thing. In case somebody would have a bad, we're trying to have 1,000. People wouldn't think twice about a church having a goal of 100. People wouldn't think twice about, well, yeah, that's great. But you're trying, we're going to have 1,000. What are you trying to do? Get everybody in? What's the difference? Let's ask God for 1,000 people. We've never had 1,000 people on the property here. On one day, we had 1,100. Now, folks, it's not out of reach. It's going to take some work. But we had 792 last Sunday. I had enough families out of town for my Sunday school class. We could have been over 800. Just folks going out of my Sunday school class. We'd have been 800. Now, it's possible. Amen. Now, y'all are looking around saying, who was out, man? Who was out? They have legitimate reasons, all right? But, boy, you don't want to come down to, you don't want us to have 995 and you be out of town on that Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Amen. It's doable. We're there. We're right there, okay? Now, we just pray the buses haven't peaked yet. And the drive-in crowd really hasn't hit on all 8 cylinders yet. It needs to for this day. We need the buses. We need the Sunday morning routes to be what they ought to be. We need the Sunday afternoon routes to be where they ought to be. We need the Spanish church to be where it ought to be. And we need the drive-in Sunday morning crowd to be where it ought to be to have 1,000. Luke 14:23, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Amen. Pray for that. Number seven, pray that fringe people will come. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's still true today. So people just aren't locked in yet. You got fringe people. They hit and miss. And sometimes they miss more than hit. But we need them here on that Sunday. Amen. And if you're thinking about somebody that hasn't been here, don't wait for us to ask you to call them and say, hey, man, don't miss the 8th of October. Get on the phone. If the Lord brings them to your mind, pray specifically for them. Pray that the fringe people will come. Number eight, pray that invited visitors will not be hindered from coming. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul said, I tried to come to you, but Satan hindered us. And don't you think he'll try to hinder lost people from coming here for sure? So you need to pray that God will remove all hindrances. for folks to come next Sunday. Number 9, pray for salvations and baptisms. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. They had to receive His word in order to get baptized. If we have 1,038 people and nobody saved, it'll be a disappointment to me. We're not going to get them here just for the crowd. We want to have lost people here to hear the gospel and have them respond. And we need the Spirit of God to prepare their heart. Pray for them. Pray for self. Pray that God will prepare the hearts of people before they get here. And number 10, pray for the power of God upon us all. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled. You know who that all represents right there? You can even mark this on your sheet. You know what that all represents? The whole church. All 120 of them. You say, yeah, Pastor Angel needs to be filled. Brother Don, Brother Caleb, Brother Jason, Brother Jorge. Yep. And every bus driver, and every bus worker, and every choir member, and every teacher, and every person that sits in the pew and holds a book and sings, and every man that shakes a hand, and everybody that has any part, anybody that's a member of this church, we just need the power of God on this place. Now, what I pray and ask God to do always is just build a hedge about this property. Now, you know what happens if He builds that hedge? He puts inside that hedge liberty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. It may not be 3:18, but it's somewhere there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You ever wondered about that verse? Freedom. Not freedom to be chaotic. Not freedom to be out of control. We talked about that Sunday night. There's order, there's structure. But freedom from satanic interference. Liberty. Liberty to preach. Liberty to sing, liberty to fellowship, liberty to give, liberty to respond, liberty. That's what happens when the power of God, that's what happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes. He gives liberty. Hedge in that sweet liberty and hedge out every interference of Satan that he has planned for this place. Put a hedge about this property. And we have 10 days. 10 days. I wish you'd put this somewhere where you have your devotions. I wish you'd put it somewhere where you'd see it. Or you men could put it in your vehicle that you drive to work in. And you know what? If you could pray over it more than once a day, that's wonderful. But at least church once a day for the next 10 days. 10 days, once a day for the next 10 days. And there's our verse, what things soever you desire when you pray. You say, well, I just don't have any desire for that right now. Well, maybe if you just start praying, God will help you have a desire. It'll build in your heart. But Jesus said, here's the sequence to get what you need. You need to desire in your heart. And then you need to ask. And ask in faith, believing. And you'll have the things you desire. Boy, I want us to have a good day. Amen. We need it. We need it. It's what sets the atmosphere and keeps this church on the right direction. There, I believe with all my heart, Ira, I told the story about your man at the restaurant today. I believe with all my heart there's folks out there that are going to churches right now, they're sick of the contemporary direction. And they'd like to get in an old-fashioned church that just has some traditional hymns, and this is what we are, this is what made us what we are, we need to keep on it, we don't need to ever get away from things like this, let's pray God will give us a successful day. Amen? I hope that you'll do that. All right, let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Father, I pray even now that we will enter into the spirit of prayer on this special occasion. And I pray that you'll please put it in our hearts, Lord, every day between now and then to ask you for these 10 things. I trust, O God, that these 10 things are in line with your great plan and purpose. I trust, O God, these 10 items here, these 10 requests, are within the moral boundaries of your word. If they are not, then God, judge our motives, judge our hearts, put your finger on us and show us. Lord, in grace, please hear us tonight. We desire these things for your honor and your glory ultimately. For the good of our church and hopefully, Lord, for the salvation of lost souls. Bless the people that are here tonight as we start to pray tomorrow. May you call it to our memory often. May these requests be breathed from our hearts and lips over and over and over again the next 10 days. And God, would you please work And we'll be careful to thank you for it. That's in Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. Ladies, play us a song of invitation before we have a good day.